Now we'll take a minute and pray, and then we'll get rolling here. Father, I just thank you so much for the mix that we have here, which was really on my heart's desire. There'd be a mix between marketplace leaders and people who are leading churches. And God, I thank you that you have brought this group together for such a time as this to learn from each other in this collaborative effort. We pray, Father, as we look at how can we as the church empower business leaders and how can business leaders work together alongside of the church. We ask, God, that the thoughts and processes that come out of today would help all of us and even others as we would convey to them the things that you reveal to us today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So first of all, let me start by saying this is not a lecture. It's not a teaching time. I was in a workshop yesterday that started at 2 minutes after and ended at 50 seconds till, and it was a teaching, which was great. It's not a negative. It's just that I want to function this as a workshop, which is a workshop as each of us learning from each other. I have two handouts that we're going to hand out to you. They just have two questions on them, but those, we're going to draw the information from that, put it on a whiteboard here so that we can learn from each other, learn how we can be more effective as we minister together. So a workshop is structured, interactive session designed for learning and collaboration. That's what we want to do here today, involving hands-on activity. So in a minute, I'm going to lead you in that group activity. Chris is going to, he might have a few things to share as well, but I want to start right here in the beginning, and I apologize, my electronic, anyway, don't worry about that. I'll say something right here in the beginning. There's two statements I want to make, and Merle was very generous in introducing me. First of all, for those of you that do know me, Keith and I go way back to, late 80s, I guess it was, something like that, a long time. And I was involved in the business, had a large commercial dairy farm with employees and that kind of thing, living my life dream at 28 years old that I dreamed about at 6 years old and just could hardly believe that I was actually doing it. But that's a little bit of my background. Always had a heart for business, and some of my heart for business is because, anyway, we'll go into that a little bit later here. Church leadership needs the abilities and capacities that business leaders can provide to conduct the affairs and the demands of a growing church. All right, I'm saying that for church leadership. Again, I stepped from the business world into the church world, and there were many things, even from day two, it might not have been day one, but we have always engaged business leaders in our leadership teams because they carry a component that we need. I see too many church leaders that carry a tremendous anointing, but do not have the ability to manage and work and lead people, and they end up with this tremendous anointing, and the church keeps fracturing, and it's because they're not leading properly. They don't have the gifts, and we can learn from the business world. Business leaders need the affirmation, encouragement, prayer support, problem solving, and kingdom understanding of the marketplace that church leaders can provide. So it's a symbiotic, synergistic relationship that we're going for. When I pastored way back and started in 87 and up through 92, I purposely, not targeted, but I purposely invested in the businesses that were a part of the church that I pastored. One guy was a farmer. I would ride on the tractor with him. Of course, I liked riding tractors. It was a lot more fun driving than riding, but I still went along. And I would visit. Another guy was a dry cleaner. I would go to a shop, and we'll talk more about that later on, of things we can do. The point is that I invested in them, letting them know that they were valuable in what that was the local church. I also resourced business leaders saying, speak into this. What do you see us doing that we could do more effectively? See the symbiotic relationship? I need them, they need me. And there's too many in the church, and this has been on my heart for years and years and years, and we started some different projects, which we may go into, maybe not. But the point is this, is I saw the separation and the dysfunction on both sides that they could benefit so much more from each other if they were willing to cross the aisle, so to speak, and say, I need you. I want you. The business person to say to the church leader, I need you, I want you. The church leader to say to the business leader, I need you, I want you. Here's the problem. Neither party realizes how much they could draw from each other. they don't realize how much they could benefit from each other and how much each other has to offer. I already said this, but I'll say it as I wrote it here. It's a symbiotic and synergistic relationship, listen, where there's no pressure on either one to perform for the other, but a willingness, It's a symbiotic relationship where there's no pressure on either to perform for the other, but a willingness to give of themselves for the success of the other, listen, without strings attached, and collaborate for the success of each other. We'll get into more of that to make sure there's no entitlement. To accomplish that, you need to be purposeful. For those of you that are church leaders specifically, you need to be purposeful and intentional. It will not happen on its own. Most business leaders will not seek you out for input, for impact. Right now, there's a number of business leaders that I meet with on a regular basis. There's one individual, he has like, I think there's 330 employees that I meet with quarterly. And we're talking about things like, Ron, I'm really kind of an introvert. I really don't like to go out on the floor. So how do I do that? I like to just sit in my office and strategize, and they're making a lot of money. Let's just say it that way. But how do I get out of my office? How do I broach that insecurity that I feel, even though I'm this high level executive CEO, owner of the company that my dad started? How in the world do I broach that weakness in my life and be able I need to go out there, but I'm afraid if I say hi to this person and not this person, they're going to be hurt. And I help him walk through that, and I've seen tremendous changes in his life. So there's a number of key businessmen that I meet with on a regular basis, quarterly, and then there's also a group of business individuals that I pull together monthly, have done it for 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, that I've been pulling them together on a monthly basis and have seen them grow up through. Some of you would know this story. There was one guy, when he first came in, he's probably been a part now 4 years, but when he came in, one of our meetings, he said this: I am one argument away from divorce and one bad deal away from bankruptcy. And we're like, are you being serious? Seriously, are you being serious now? Is this just for effect? And out of that came out, fast forward these last years, he's acquired other businesses. His wife got saved. They had a couple more children, and he is just really, really glowing and growing because of the goodness of God and growing. And he would look at it as, this group has really helped propel me in that. All right. I had another individual within that same group who, when he started coming, he said this. He said, I don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm about ready for bankruptcy. And out of that, he has grown to, man, they're backlogged, I think, at least 7-8 months of work that they have in front of them. And again, it's just the kingdom of leaders speaking into other business leaders. And again, that dynamic was more of a symbiotic relationship of business leaders pouring into mine there as the church leader, pulling them together and teaching them or speaking into principles, speaking into their life from the kingdom side of things, which is, again, just an important part of them. You need to be, if you're taking notes, need to be intentional and purposeful, meaning you will need to engage. I propose that engagement, for those of you that are church leaders, it needs to start with you. VJ, it needs to start with you. Kennedy, it needs to start with you. If you're going to connect with leaders, with business leaders, it needs to connect with you. You need to take the initiative to start. So the purpose of engaging with them, it needs to start with church leadership, and that is because we're looking out for the sheep. A business leader, whether they're a man or a woman, is first of all our son or our daughter. Really, the Lord taught me this a number of years ago. I was stressing over some major decisions that I needed to make that were resting on my shoulders, and I was I was just really, really struggling. And the Lord said this, and there was a whole bunch of things involved, but the Lord said, Ron, remember, first and foremost, you're a son. Just remember that, you're a son. Secondly, you're a husband. You get this right, you'll get that right. But get this right, all right? Now get this right. Thirdly, you're a father. You take care of your relationship with me. You take care of your relationship with your wife, with Bonnie. And then you take care of your relationship with your six children. And at that point, there's probably only 14 grandchildren. But you take care of the relationships there. And then, fourthly, you're an employee of Dove. And in reality, there's another one in there. Fourthly, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a member of a local church. And then fifthly, I'm an employee. In this case, I was an employer of Dove. He said, keep that perspective in mind, because get each one of those right in the right successive order. Each one or each will need to be secure. The church leader as well as the business leader will need to be secure in their identity. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but keep in mind, whether you're a church leader or a business leader, your identity is not in what you do. There's been a lot of teaching on identity here lately. It's resurfaced again. But your identity is not in what you do. You take your identity into what you do. Otherwise, you lose your identity. Now, let me just say this yet when it comes to identity and that whole aspect. Just because, let's say, if my identity is in business, if I step out of business, if that's my identity, I will lose my identity. I will flounder. If I step out of church leadership and my identity is in church leadership and I step out of that, I will flounder, because that's where my identity, and now I lost my identity. My identity has to be in Jesus and who he has created me to be. And I take that into the business world where I was. And then when he asked me to lay that down, I took that same ability and gifting into the marketplace. Now, having said that, that does not mean that when you switch vocations or roles, it doesn't mean that you will not miss something. When I stepped out of farming, out of business, into the church world, do you know what I missed most? Handling money. Handling finances. Writing checks. Bought a farm. Buy a big tractor. And then I go down to buying gas. You know, $50 at the hardware store. You know, in farming, it was back in the 80s, 500. It's under 500. Praise God, that's hard. That's nothing. Under 1,000, yeah, we're good. That's nothing to worry about. Oh, 5,000, it's a little more stressful. But when I stepped out of that, that's what I missed the most. When I stepped out of local pastoring, a local church, what I missed the most was orchestrating a service, a Sunday gathering, from start to finish, from prayer to benediction, from worship to hearing the presence of God, to discerning where we head, what are we going to do, and went from that to just going in and speaking at a local church where I did not have the authority. I'm coming into someone else's field, and that's the part I missed. Does not mean that my identity was in that. But it's a part of that that I missed of what I was doing. So please understand, when you shift or someone shifts, you can still miss part of what you're doing. So my identity is I'm a game changer, problem solver, a grower, an apostolic, optimistic rather, believer that things will always work out. I take that into everywhere I go, anything that I do. I'm a problem solver. I love to solve problems. So the key part for you as a church leader, let me speak to you, is to understand the ability, the identity of the business leaders in your local church, because then that gives you the ability to do two things: to identify their identity, to call it forth, and then to utilize that identity to say, I see this ability in you, I want to draw from that. Okay, it's important for you as a business leader to understand the identity of a church leader so that you can draw from their expertise and their identity of who they are and invite them into your business. So as a problem solver, there was a company that I was friends with, and they were going through, this was in 2008 when the economy dropped, they lost 65% of their business. And I went to him, I said, hey, look, I am willing to pray with you monthly with you and your executive team if you want me to. And we'll pray for this, just for you guys to get through this thing. In fact, he had just taken over leadership. There was a transition of leadership not too long before that he had just stepped into. So as we did that, I began showing up every month with his executive team, three other people. Okay, we went from 300 and some employees down to like 116, somewhere in that realm. But we prayed, and as we were praying throughout those monthly things, one month after I left, I was praying for him because I would pray for him on a daily basis. I felt the Lord tell me that it was a word of knowledge that there was somebody in the company that was undermining the company, undermining leadership. They researched it out, found out there was an employee who was a 20-year employee that was undermining the leadership and causing just disruption among the employees, and they ended up having to let that person go. But that came out of them drawing from the gifting within me. And then we reached a place where they said, you know what, we don't think it's needed anymore. We think we got it turned, and now we're good. So understanding each other's identity is so key. So I want to, I'm going to share this yet, and then I'm going to give Chris, if he has anything he wanted to share. I'm going to take you to a verse out of the Old Testament, and this is Exodus 31, and it's verses 1 through 5. Just, it's the first time that I see, Keith, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is the first time that I believe it's listed in the Old Testament as the Spirit of the Lord filling somebody. This is, again, Exodus 31. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel," and I'm probably pronouncing that name wrong, "the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Too often we think of someone being filled with the Spirit of God just equates to church leadership. The first time it's listed that I'm aware of in the Old Testament is they're filled with the Spirit of God in understanding wisdom, knowledge, and manner of workmanship. It's the marketplace. It's the marketplace where the first one that I believe is recorded in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, and in bronze, and cutting jewels for setting, and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. So again, to understand that the Spirit of God, someone filled with the Spirit of God, can very well be in the marketplace where it's needed as well. Chris, is there anything you'd like to share before we get into that, into the thing? Feel free. If there is,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, sure. I think
behind the mic.
All right. Okay. Yes, I'd like, I think too, you know, as business leaders, we can learn from church leaders and vice versa, because if you boil it down, a lot of the things we do are the same. You know, as a pastor, as a church leader, your main work is you're leading people. And in business, essentially, that's what you're doing as well. You're leading people. And so there's just a lot to gain as a pastor, you know, a lot that I can gain from business leaders. And as a business leader, there's a lot that I can gain from church leaders. And so it's just that it's really, and I have the privilege of working in both, both sides. And so it's just really neat to see the synergy, flow between the two. And I've seen that in my own experience. In fact, I think maybe 10 years ago or so, our church hired Keith Yoder as a consultant. And so he was consulting our church leadership, and I was part of that leadership team. And I took what we learned at the church, and I for free took that and used it in my business as well. And so, you know, in that season, I learned a lot from church leadership that I applied in my business. And then other times it was the other way around, where I was learning things in business that I would take back and apply in church leadership. And so there's just a power there if we can synergize with leaders in both arenas and work together in learning.
So I think I know who you are. So if you're a church leader, I gave you one empowering business, empowering and engaging as a church leader. And I want you to fill out, because we're gonna then ask you to respond, and we're gonna write it up here on the board so we can learn from each other. What would be beneficial to you to receive from business leaders? As I said, I meet with business leaders, and not in early years, but up until even as of late as last Tuesday night, I met with business leaders who speak into the Dove International Network. They speak into the way we're structured. They speak into how we handle our finances. They're there as my protectors. I am extremely vulnerable. The first time I met with them, with another key leader, that they were their first time with there, the other key leader was, we walked away. He said, "Man, I'm amazed at your vulnerability." Those are the guys I'm very raw with. They're business leaders. I'm saying, hey, guys, this is what I'm struggling with in a realm of leadership. And we have a same group for WSA as Dove International. And as a WSA, I can share with them things I'm struggling with, staffing, all that kind of thing, because I'm looking for them to speak into my life. So as church leaders, what would be beneficial to you to receive from business leaders? So, Sammy, think in terms of that. What would business leaders really be able to speak into you? And then the second question is just as important. What do you feel that you could offer business leaders? So what could, because again, this is the synergistic part. This is the part that most of us sit on. As business leaders, you need to know what you can offer the local church. And as business leaders, you need to know what you need from the local church. Church leaders, you need to know what you need from business people and not be afraid to ask for it. And then what can you have, what do you have to offer? If you don't know what you have, listen, if you don't know what you can bring to the table, then how are you going to be able to present it to anybody and how are they going to pull from it? I'll do the same thing when I'm with an elder team. I'll go around the room. I'll say, tell me what you're bringing to the table. If you don't know what you're bringing here, how can anybody else draw from it? That's the security that you need to carry as a leader. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I can bring. You decide whether you want it or not, but I know this is who I am. Okay. Then the business leaders, for those of you that I know, Nora and Sam, you're not business leaders yet, but think in terms of that. How could local church leadership help you? So the first question, what would be beneficial for you to receive from church leadership? And then secondly, what do you feel you have to offer church leadership? So even at a young age, even heading off to possibly business school, even working in the business world now, what do you feel like you could offer? Same thing for you, Corzett, and you worked multiple hats. You've been business leader and church leader. So think in terms, I don't care if you fill out both of them, but think in terms, what do I need and what can I offer? And I'm going to give you like 5 minutes to do that, and then we're going to throw these things up on the board. And we're going to learn from each other. All right? Any questions? Go for it. It'll take you at least 2 or 3 minutes, and then we can look at it after. What's that? Oh, yeah. And you can fill out both of them if you want to.
Great.
I'm going to work alone myself as business leader, as a church leader. Let's start with church leaders, all right? For those of you that are church leaders, we'll let you respond to this one. What would be beneficial for you to receive from business leaders? How many church leaders are there here? I think I had about 4 or 5. Okay, 6, 7. Okay, great. Just start. Just list them. Chris is going to keep it really concise, but what can we receive from business leaders? Don't be bashful. Keith.
How to work with employees.
What's that?
How to work with employees.
Work with employees.
So people skills.
People skills. Keith.
Structure.
What's that, Sammy?
Structure. Okay. Is that big enough to read?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Marketing.
So what do you call that? Risk management? What would you call it, Keith?
It's
broader than that.
Okay. Seeing opportunity.
Seeing opportunity, does that fit or is it still? Keep talking, Keith.
It's the ability to you see an opportunity, but you can assess and you see there is an advantage there that to gain by serving, providing a transaction. It's recognizing that advantage.
Okay.
I want to stick with that.
Stick with advantage. Okay. Anything else, Keith?
Then you can assess a risk being reasonable.
Yeah. So risk. Reasonable risk. Somebody else. What can we receive from business leaders?
Process.
Systems.
Systems.
What else? Accounting? Money management? Yep.
Financial. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Financial integrity, money management. Hiring and firing would fit in with marketing people up there somewhere, right? managing people. Yeah, that's good. That's okay. Somebody else? Anything else? I put down negotiating, the ability to negotiate. Just in the hiring and firing process, how do you negotiate? Do you have some?
Leadership training I had.
Yep.
That would go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Depends, yeah. And what did you have
wrong? I had down negotiate.
Negotiate.
Yep, just the whole process of whether it's, so we negotiate, I negotiate for this event here, with the people, with the admin staff here. And just to be able to do that in a reputable, honorable way. Anybody else have anything? I have a few more here. Safety. Safety issues. The church is notorious for trusting everybody. We trust everybody. We want to reach everybody. Then something, well, we know that guy doesn't look right. I feel strange with him coming in the doors, but obviously we need him or we want him here. So just that whole safety aspect. All right. I have two more. Go ahead, Sammy.
Liabilities?
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Sure. So that's all part of establishing or looking at impacts, negative impacts. I put down that business leaders can affirm my style of leadership. They can also provide correction to my style of leadership. Mm-hmm. So affirm and correction, because they're in a school of leadership as well. All right? So the business leaders that I get together with, I share, and we have the pledge that what is said in a room stays in a room. Therefore, I can really be raw with them and say, well, this is the emotions that I'm grappling with. This is what I felt when I walked through that situation. Okay, keeping it moving. What do we as church leaders have to offer business leaders? Take it away.
So should I take a picture of this and erase it or just keep adding?
Okay, see if you can come down the side. It'd be great to keep it up there if we could, and then anybody wants to can take a whole picture of it. And then we'll erase it. I should have told you. I should have warned you of that earlier.
Oh, we got it.
All right. What can we offer business leaders?
Wisdom. Closing sales.
Closing sales, did you say? That's a whole evangelism kind of thing, yeah? Somebody else?
Values.
Value?
Values, like principles, values. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moral boundaries.
Moral boundaries or worldly business practices. Just moral boundaries, that's good.
Yeah, I had down moral compass. So
yeah?
Yeah.
It's good.
Support in tough times.
Mm-hmm. That's just moral support.
I had down prayer support.
Yep, I had that well. So, yeah, put that right underneath moral / prayer.
Connections.
Connection.
Out of the box thinking.
Excellent. Did you get that? Out of the box thinking.
And this is what pastors are giving to business leaders.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because we can bring in a faith aspect.
Yes, that's right.
That they might not carry. They're thinking practical. They're thinking return on investment. We can bring in the God's perspective on things. I like it. Anyone else? What else?
Teaching and motivating how to engage employees to work.
Okay. Say that again. Teaching and motivating.
Teaching and motivating employees and engaging employees to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Of course.
Recognizing heart issues in the employees.
Hmm. You say heart or heart?
Oh.
Heart. It's good. Heart issues.
Shepherding the employees and actually considering you have them 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
To influence their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
And assisting the business leaders with accountability.
Excellent. Accountability. What else you got, Keith? I wrote down, we can ask the hard questions. Which one of their business associates is going to ask them how their physical relationship is with their spouse? As a church leader, I can do that without violating anything, but I'm concerned about them as a person. Mm-hmm. All right? Yep.
Which would go along with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So we can ask the hard questions, spiritual mentorship, prayer support we already have. Anybody else have any more? I have one more. We can bring in spiritual gifts, the whole discernment, word of knowledge. Along with that, with the prayer support comes really the gift of faith.
With that would be discerning God's will in difficult problems.
Yeah. Yep, we can pray with them through difficult problems.
Mm-hmm. What was that again?
Insight, prayer insight into situations or problems.
Discernment, spiritual discernment.
Discernment. Yeah, I've had business leaders say, hey, would you pray about this? Should I engage in this business? Should I engage in this acquisition? Should I take this forward? When do I know when to push against the door when it's not opening? Is it God holding it closed, or I need to kick harder? All right, so there's a lot here that we as church leaders can both receive and give. Now, that's from the church leader perspective. If anybody wants to come front here and take a picture of it quick, please come. All right, I'll just leave it here for a second. Just come, take it, and then we're going to do the flip side.
I want to take one myself.
Okay, go ahead and erase that. Now we're going to shift gears, and we're going to go to business leaders.
We're going to say, business as business leaders, what would be beneficial to you to receive from local church leaders? So as a business leader, what are you looking for? How can we, as church leadership, and I'm broadening it there, to lead elders and elder teams? We could include small group leaders.
Add two things. First was a place to discuss business ethics. Really huge for business leaders. And then
I apologize for the cooling system.
Oh yeah, I'm about to speak for my diaphragm.
There you go.
Prayer and counsel for what opportunities that we have that align with what's going on in the kingdom.
Yeah. Very true.
Prayer, not every opportunity is an opportunity that's, God breathes. So.
Yeah, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what was your first one?
First one was a place to discuss, a safe place to discuss business ethics.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is what business leaders can give?
No, that's what they can get.
Can get, yeah.
This is what they're looking for from church leaders.
Yeah.
And Nora and Samuel, don't be afraid to speak in here, all right?
I think encouraging, equipping, and empowering them because business leaders have a different platform. They're in a different area than church leaders are, especially I'm in construction, and we're in somebody different's house every couple weeks, and we just get to be around people. And
yeah.
It's
good. Somebody else. As business leaders, what would you like to receive?
Wisdom and decision making.
Okay. And again, if you're here even as a church leader, like Keith, you've had extensive influence on both sides, cores as well. You play both realms. So feel free to answer these questions from that perspective with that hat on. with a business hat on?
As a business leader, spiritual and personal mentorship.
Okay.
From a pastor or a church leader.
Yeah. One you can write down. Go ahead, Keith.
Provide counsel for employees in personal issues.
Yeah. It's very good.
That are beyond the scope of the business providing. Mm-hmm. But providing that so that you're caring for the employees.
For personal life issues.
Yeah.
Good. What else?
Chaplain. How to establish chaplain in the business.
There's actually a local business, Four Seasons, right? That they have. Yeah. Do they have a full-time chaplain, I think?
They have two part-timers.
Part-time.
Or had two part-timers.
Yeah.
But it may be full-time now. I mean, may have one full-timer. Yeah. There's a number of businesses that have chaplains. This is really good. I have down how they can influence the marketplace for the kingdom. Kingdom influence. Anybody else have any before I add one or two more?
As a business person, I want what I need or what I can receive from a church leader is the affirmation and empowerment for me to move in my gift of making money, that it's okay to make money without being embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. Or be condemned or embarrassed, or this is who God has wired me to be. So again, it goes back to affirming my identity. The other thing as a business leader that I'm looking for the church, looking from to receive from church leaders is value and worth to the kingdom expression. In other words, you want more than my money. Because that can very easily, as a business person, you can very easily feel anytime there's a need to raise money, anytime there's a project, that's when I get the call. That's when I get the extra hug after celebration. That's when they want to take me out for breakfast. Hey, we have this need. Are you interested in helping? You know, that kind of thing.
I don't know how conscious this is, but I think subconscious is true. To be commissioned by the church.
Yeah.
To serve in the marketplace.
Yeah. It's an affirmation. Yep. Very good. So commissioning / affirmation that what I'm doing is of value. It's not second rate. It's not second class because I'm not a church leader. I'm not functioning as church leadership. So therefore, I haven't reached to the attain or to the level that a church leader has. Case in point, so when I sold the farm, I had a guy come up to me more than once. He would come up and say, I guess you feel a lot better now that you're really doing something important for God. No. In fact, I talked to more unsaved people in the marketplace as a spirit-filled dairy farmer than I do now, or even as a pastor, because now most of my work is working among Christians or helping them walk through their junk, unless I'm reaching out. Before, I was in the feed mill, in the chemical company, I was with the fuel company, I was with the milk company. I was relating to a plethora of leaders that did not know God, but understood and trusted the integrity that I walked in. So much a day would give me thousands and thousands of dollars. All right.
Yeah, and I think along with being affirmed and all that is to affirm business people for what they can give outside of just their money. A lot of times we associate, well, they're here to give money, but they have leadership skills. They have.
That'll be in this column.
Oh, that's over there.
That's what do you feel you as a business leader can offer the church? Write it up here. Put it down. What else do you feel like you have to offer church leadership? Money management. Sorry.
When it comes to visionary, like facilities growth, expansion, some practical counsel or guidance.
Yep.
On how to approach that. Mm-hmm. That topic of growth.
How would we?
Resource guidance, expansion guidance. Leadership is built on trust. I find many business leaders lack trust in local leadership, church leadership, because of the way they manage money or don't or fail to manage money and fail to make quality decisions or don't make decisions. And it frustrates them because they're coming from a world where you're making decisions and you're and the church says, well, we're not quite sure. We'll let the Lord lead. And it's like, decide, make a decision. Here's a process. So put that down. There's processes. And you have systems already up there. So decision-making processes would be one. What else? Business people, what do you have to offer church leadership? Nora, what are you thinking?
Services.
Like,
for me,
photography,
so I could
offer my... Oh, yeah. There you go. Areas of expertise.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
In construction, but like if something needs done, you have somebody who knows how to do it, or mm-hmm. they know somebody who knows how to do it.
Connections and resources.
Yeah, that's good. How about pragmatic, or not pragmatic, realistic growth? We always went by, we'll just believe God for it. Yeah, let's put another $40,000 on the budget and we'll believe God for it. And every year, and finally our group of leaders said, guys, put on what you brought in last year, a little bit of an increase. We can believe God for more, but don't end every month in the negative. And in the year, at the end of the year, you're always in the negative. You're always in the red.
Is that realistic growth strategy?
Yep, realistic growth, realistic incomes, just realistic.
Yeah.
We can always start there and build. You know, we're not limiting faith. We're just being real. Let's be real so you can plan accordingly. Let's base a budget on real numbers so that if we can make it work on real, it's kind of like a husband and wife. We're going to make our budget on your income because she may get pregnant, you know, and you might not have her income 6 months from now. Somebody else.
I'm sorry to go backwards, Ron, but.
No.
I was thinking about the processes and things that business people can give.
Mm-hmm.
But man, how do you, with all your processes and systems, walk by the Spirit? That to me, that's a gift, something I would like.
Something you like from a church leaders, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
With all the processes and things, how do you walk by the Spirit as a business leader?
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
To not, you know, rightly balance.
Yeah. Anything else anybody sitting on? What do you as business leaders have to offer?
Money.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's true.
It is. And financial stewardship as well, you know, along with that.
All right. I'll go over. It's 2 o'clock. Anybody have anything yet? I want to go over one other thing quickly. And that is, does anybody have anything? I don't want to cut anybody off. All right, guard, and we'll let you take a picture of this. We need to guard against entitlement on either side. And what do I mean by that? The church cannot look on the business community as being my support base. My security and financial provision is not in my business persons, so I'm not cozying up to them for ulterior motives. My generating relationship with them is to help them succeed. I'm not trying to manipulate them into becoming my support base. Okay? I can't stress entitlement or step into entitlement when it comes like this. I'm praying for you, therefore I have a handle or literally a hand in your pocket. You owe me to support my vision because I am putting out for you. That's all manipulation. That's entitlement. That's saying God's blessed you, and because he's blessed you so much, you owe me. That's not the way it should work. I'm believing God for my increase, whether it's from you as a business or whatever. The business community, they need to be set free, make sure they're not moving in entitlement, which says because I give X dollars, it gives me a greater role in the local church. Hey, I gave you 50 grand, therefore I have a right to tell you how to spend it. I have a right to tell you how to structure. As a church leader, I need to draw from a course and say, "Help me. How do I handle, man? I just received $50,000. How do we handle that properly? How do we manage that against the $500,000 property that we're looking at buying? How do we manage that?" So, but I can't give it with strings attached, okay? So, and the other business community says, I can draw from you, but for you to use money to manipulate your own way, I'll need to flag that as a pastor. If you're going to manipulate that, then I'm going to flag that and just bring that to your attention. So those are the two ways we want to make sure that entitlement doesn't happen. We're out of time, guys. Anybody have a closing thought they wanted to share? Something you haven't thus far. Chris, anything?
We're gone. Yeah.
All right. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the synergistic, symbiotic relationship that you desire business leaders and church leaders to function and flow in. And I pray, Father, that you would release both sides to engage the other. Not look at them as adversaries, but look at them as something that can assist and enhance their own leadership gift without strings attached, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, guys, thanks. It's been a great learning experience. Take a picture here before you leave. And we have 1 hour before the closing session and dinner together. And this is a memory. Ooh.